Speaking for myself and today's two guests, we aren't medical doctors and we are not diagnosing. We're talking story about health, our human health. We learn through the years, right? Diane has been using ozone therapy for many years as a way to help stay healthy and had the opportunity to help a friend who was in serious need. Our second guest, Norman Cowell, has experienced using ozone for himself and many others for over 30 years and has engineered one of the top ozone generators that's available in the world. I'm Robin with Tributaries. Glad you're here with us. Diane, what was your experience using ozone for your health that prompted you to suggest it for your friend? Did you use it as preventative health care, or what was your reasoning?
Thank you. Yeah, I actually did use it only for preventative for my personal use. So when I had the opportunity to work and to use it to facilitate treatments for my friend, Fred, that had severe Parkinson's, it was just fascinating to be able to experience how quickly he was able to get relief from his tremors and from the foggy brain and all of the things that come with Parkinson's. It was actually miraculous to watch.
Yes, so he did have symptoms and then he was medically diagnosed as having Parkinson's. So what actually were his symptoms? And then give us a timeline about him using ozone and how he used it and then how things shifted for him.
Okay. Yes, he was diagnosed and he really spent a good 5 years doing the standard treatments and protocols, and they were getting to the place where they were going to do some severe treatment that he wasn't really excited about. And so that prompted him to seek the alternative, and he had been breathing it with me and doing the saunas and just the fun things that go along with the ozone. And so he was familiar with it. His shaking was so extreme. And within about a week and a half of starting up on the ozone treatments, his shaking had almost completely disappeared.
You mentioned that he did saunas and he did breathing. What was the difference by going all in that made his symptoms disappear?
He did it rectally. He did it in his ears, which was a very significant part of the treatment. What it did was it breaks down that amyloid plaque that's built up on the nerve endings. And when he started doing it in his ears, you could actually see the sticky, gummy amyloid plaque breaking down, and it would come out of his ears. Just a clear liquid, super sticky. And I think that was one of the key things.
Was he doing it more regularly? Was that something that was key?
Once he started, yes, he went all in. He started doing certain parts of the treatment, and then once he got that down to a routine, then another part would be added to the point where he was actually doing all of the protocol.
So helping everyone understand a little more about what you mean by going all in, Diane, how often would he do it? Like, was he doing it every day? Was he doing ears and sauna and breathing every day, all day? How did that look? Just so we can get a little bit about what it looks like.
Yes, once he started the treatments, he actually did everything every day. He was very committed to it, and he would breathe it throughout the day for extended periods of time, half hour, 45 minutes even. And the ears, he would just do it for a short period of time.
10 minutes or?
No, not even.
Oh, okay.
Just a matter of like 30 seconds to start with, and then building up very short periods of time in his ears. and never very long. And then also rectally, he was doing it once or twice, consistently every day, yes.
You mentioned that his symptoms were very severe, and you said within a week they shifted dramatically, and then he eventually was able to stop the tremors totally. Is that correct or not?
Yeah. Within 10 days, his tremors had gone from shaking just back and forth severely to just a tiny bit of twitching in his little pinky finger within 10 days.
Amazing.
And also the fog in his brain, he was able to think clearly, and his memory returned, the look in his eyes, you get that cloudy look in the eyes with Parkinson's, and he had a clear look in his eyes again. It just happened quickly, and then we continued the treatments daily for a month and a half, I would say, and then he went into maintenance. It was amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. And in many years of researching protocols, it's certainly apparent that there is no one cure for all. But there are other things that your friend did to enhance his health. And maybe you could just mention a couple that you think really were helpful in clearing him from the symptoms.
Excellent. Yes. It's a really well-rounded regime that he used. The coffee enemas are significant because once the ozone starts breaking down these toxins, they have to be eliminated. And so the coffee enemas will stimulate the liver to do that. Coffee enemas twice a day or more. Yeah, twice a day. He was doing those regularly, and those were super important. And yes, he did a really healthy diet, alkalinized. And then there were different vitamins and different things that, yes, help with the complete healing.
Right, boost the immunity.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and then it becomes a lifestyle. It really does. Like we talked about before, I've always used it as a maintenance.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and so it was just, I was really blessed to be able to watch the remarkable difference before and after within such a short period of time.
Yeah, and what a gift to be able to help a friend like that. That's incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for doing that, and thanks for being a curious and pioneering human. There are a lot of us out there.
You have to be curious and pioneering these days, don't you?
Yes. Norman, as a lead into speaking about how ozone works in the body when used for health, can you first give us a brief history of how or where it got started?
Yeah, well, got started in the early beginnings when the plankton started to pump out oxygen, and it would float up and get hit by UV light from the sun, and that would split some of those O2 molecules into singlets, and those singlets would reconfigure as O3 ozone, and then it's heavier than O2, so it would fall down through the atmosphere, mix with moisture, and create hydrogen peroxide and rain, and then the O2 being lighter would float up, and you'd see this cycle going on where the O2 would be converted into O3, and it got revved up way, way, way back, and somebody once said aptly that ozone is the eternal purifier of all living things, and that's certainly true.
Sure. So where did the first medicinal use come from using ozone machines?
First thing I was tracking about somebody, quote, discovering, anybody that's out in a lightning storm discovers ozone, but in 1840, apparently, a Christian, Frederick, and I can't pronounce the last name, discovered ozone when he smelled the aroma that was given off when electricity went through the air, converted the O2 electrically into O3. And then they were having a time in Europe because, my God, we just had a history of not really paying close attention to sanitation. And Europe cities, the water was polluted, there was feces in the streets. God bless us all, but we need to rethink all that. Anyway, the problem was getting pure water to drink because there were so many issues that people were getting from drinking impure water. So somebody came up with the idea of making ozonating machines to help purify the water. I think it took off from there, and people started realizing, oh, my God, this is cleaning up the water. We're not getting sick so much. And then, of course, all praise to Tesla. He created an ozone company about the turn of the last century, and it just kind of took off, and, man, it's got some really nice wings.
Sure, yeah, sure does. Well, obviously we're aware that we all need oxygen, so let's start with respiration and how this works at a cellular level, and then...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then how introducing ozone or O3 helps the situation.
Yeah, cells need to respire. If you're not respiring, if your cells aren't burning the glucose with the oxygen, you got like an engine with a bad fuel air mixture, and there's all kinds of problems going to start. One is the body's going to shift from being aerobic to anaerobic, which means you need to start fermentation to get energy, and the fermentation isn't very efficient, and it needs a lot of space, and it needs carbohydrates, fuel, to ferment. So if you can keep the cells respiring correctly, that's like a car with a really good fuel air mixture. And the cells are going to be making lots of what's called ATP, which is the cellular energy. Apparently, there's a frequency going from ATP to ADP and back again. But I think it's like 50,000 times a second. This is a little resonation center that's generating all your energy. And, yeah, if you throw a wrench in that works, things aren't going to be working very well. And then the issue is going to be one of pH, where your cells are going to become really acidic and it'd be swamp-like. Let's shift over to an analogy. If you take a swamp and throw a tube and bubble ozone in that swamp and have an influx of new water come in, well, the script is going to flip on the swamp. It's going to change to a viable lake attracted to life rather than decay. So that's a crude analogy, but if you look at your body and having issues wherever you have, quote, disease, it's going to be swamp-like. And if you can change the nature of that swamp, get everything resonating and correctly respiring, that's well, going to be a happy day in the park.
Right. So with ozone being O3 and us needing good oxygen, where does that breakdown happen so the cell isn't respiring fluidly enough to make it happen? And then what does that introduction of the O3 rather than just O2 create a change?
Yeah, really good question, Robin. Let's do another analogy. Picture a healthy forest. A healthy forest is going to be moist. It'll have some feeble disease, dead underbrush. It'll have some stagnating pockets. It'll have some dried out trees. But it's going to have lots of moisture. And if you throw a match or oxidation or ozone molecules into that forest, it's going to be a fast, controlled burn to get rid of the feeble disease dead underbrush. And a dried out tree is just begging to burn. It doesn't have enough energy to make the bark coating. If it's a pine tree, my God, those pine needles, they really like to crackle and burn fast. So you have a fast-moving, controlled burn that takes care of the stagnation, the diseased underbrush, and it nitrogen fixates the soil, makes a really healthy biome. In the body, if you have an unhealthy situation, an unhealthy biome, an unhealthy balance, if you throw a match into an unhealthy forest, it's all dried out, that whole forest is going to go up. But if you take a person and you get that person hydrated and detoxified, and then you start introducing these single atoms of oxygen that are coming off the O3 molecule, they're going to work wonders, because one of the things they're going to do is seek out and destroy pathogenic material. Yeah.
And so what is it about that doesn't go after good healthy cells in our body?
Healthy cells are going to be moist. A good healthy tree is going to be moist. The oxidation is going to bypass that tree and look specifically for dried out trees.
It's really quite amazing, isn't it, how ozone works, because it doesn't go after a named disease. That doesn't even really need to come into the picture, does it?
No, it's all a question of balance. And if you understand balance, when you have enough water and enough oxygen, you know, there's a balance happening there. You're not going to have a bad fire because you've got a lot of water right there balancing it out. The whole system works on a state of balance. And you could think of controversy, wars even, you could think of as balancing factors. But in the body, you have opposition. When it comes together as a balancing factor, it's like a whirling dervish spinning in perfect harmony. You know, you have sodium, you have salt, and you have potassium. And if you have an equal proportion, it's that there's a balance happening. It is like a link up. It happens across the board, whether it's yin or yang or male or female. Like an oxygen atom, if it gets a little too antsy and starts to burn, well, it's probably going to find some water there to quench the fire.
Right. Well, anyone who's involved in healthcare certainly knows that working with the entire system is key. And from what you've presented about ozone, it certainly does that. I don't know if you want to talk about how the toxins build in the body, or as they're released, there are certain organs like the liver, for instance, that carries a lot of the load for toxins, doesn't it?
Yeah. The body gets challenged, and that challenge is like a benefit. This is making us stronger. And if you have too much toxic buildup and you're not paying attention to it, it's going to keep knocking on the door louder and louder until you do pay attention to it. And one of the main issues is cancer. Every single person has cancer cells coming and going every single day of our lives. Like we have flies and mosquitoes landing on us. It's the good graces of our immune system that oxidizes that out, swats it off. If you don't pay attention to that, well, I don't know how many years it takes, but they can't even measure cancer mass until it builds to something like a billion cells. Yeah. So people need to realize it's all about fine-tuning daily. Much more valuable is your beautiful body than the finest Stradivarius violin ever made. It's time for us all to realize that we can tune up these instruments daily and be our own physicians, like we can be our own musicians, you know? I like to play music. I got guitars. And first thing I have to do is I tune up the guitar. I wake up in the morning. First thing I have to do is clear my mind and go, wait a minute. This is going to be the best day ever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, I know along with Gearson and a lot of healers, you're very supportive of the coffee enemas. So share a bit about that.
It sounds crazy. People, you tell them at first and they'll raise their eyebrows, but once they get into the science of actually how it works, there's a molecule called glutathione. It's the major molecule for detoxification of plastics and metals and just about everything. I think another thing I like is I'm a simple man. I have to keep things simple. And if you think of ozone as Mr. Clean, well, ozone comes in like Mr. Clean and starts shaking out the rugs you've been sweeping things under for years. It's time to keep the elimination wide open. Keep the doors and windows open and some circulation coming through. Do some coffee enemas. Optimize your liver function. Our livers are like this master alchemist. And a lot of times people's livers, they can get full of stagnation. I sometimes joke that people that are living in a modern world society for 30 years, their livers are going to look like an air cleaner on a Baja buggy that just completed the Mexican 1000. You got to clean it out.
Absolutely. And why, in mentioning the glutathione, the coffee enema has a huge effect on that production, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how they figure all this stuff out, but I'm glad somebody does.
Yes.
Whether it's accurate or not, I'm not sure, but they claim that one coffee enema will stimulate the production of 700 times more glutathione. That is really major. And if your liver is producing glutathione for you in your liver where it's needed, how much more beneficial is that going to be than getting glutathione in a drip or a pill? So there's some precursors that are building blocks that the liver uses. And one of them is NAC, N-acetylcysteine. And another one is alpha-lipoic acid.
Right.
So in my work with people, I encourage everybody to start taking, you know, about a gram of NAC a day and about 500 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid. And then you do a coffee enema. And then, oh, geez, the liver just starts going, oh, my God. And the other thing you can do is if you want to get into the physicality of it, there's a portal system.
Yeah.
It's a reclamation system. It's designed to take fluids and gases out of the colon and into the liver. Robin, it does this every 4 minutes.
Amazing.
It recycles stuff, bile, fluids, gases. Now, if you're putting the coffee up in there, coffee does some wonderful things if you do it as an enema. I can't drink it. If you do a coffee enema, it stimulates what's called the pelvic parasympathetic nerve ganglia. That's a mouthful. The pelvic parasympathetic nerve ganglia. If you have an understanding of the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system has a couple of branches. One is sympathetic, and the other is parasympathetic. Sympathetic is what happens when we get a blowout on the freeway at 80 miles an hour, or get in an argument, or historically get, you're a saber-toothed tiger in the brush. We get this stress hormone release, and it's been a beautiful thing that's helped us survive and thrive. Yet, I think we're only supposed to be in sympathetic stress mode 10-20% of our day. Yeah, we're designed to be stressed out, but only 10-20% of the day. The rest of the day, I think we're designed to be in this parasympathetic dominance of, let's relax, let's go build a sandcastle at the beach and then watch the sun go down type of thing. So coffee, it sounds crazy that coffee could stimulate relaxation. But if I had a cup of coffee right now, I'd be having a migraine and I couldn't sleep at night. But I could do a coffee at 10 o'clock and go to sleep at midnight.
Right. So going back into the ozone, what are the ways that people do ozone? How is it used?
There's a direct IV. It's a DIV, direct IV ozone. I've been doing this and training people to do this for years. It's come under kind of a bad rap. And I think it's because people weren't doing it correctly. So some doctors are bad rapping direct gas injections because it wasn't done correctly a couple of times, and they spun a lot of negativity about it. That's one way. It works wonders. I had a friend, I still do, he came to see me about 25 years ago, bought a machine. I gave him a really good deal, showed him how to do direct gas and everything. He was driving along with a friend of his that went into a massive stroke. Ron didn't even take him to ER, took him straight home after a couple syringefuls of ozone. The guy came out of his stroke, went running around town telling Ronald how he saved his life. So every EMT should have an ozone machine. And we'll get there eventually. So that's one way, direct gas. The other way is ears. The ozone is so small and it's so penetrating. If you blow up our bodies, our skin cells are like big caverns ready to absorb things. And so ozone can go into the ears and get down behind the eyes. It'll get into the brain. I think it goes into the third ventricle and can even start decalcifying the pineal gland. And then the rectal insufflations, if you go back down and remote view of the liver. Well, if you have a liver that's clear and functioning well, and you've got your blood coming through that liver, I think the blood moves through the liver like every 4 or 5 minutes. Now, if that blood is coming through with carbon monoxide, yeah, it's not going to get out of the red cells. Yet, if you get a single O off an O3 molecule, it'll glob onto the CO to make carbon dioxide. And dioxide is a gas you readily exhale. You can scrub the carbon off the red cells by doing rectal insufflations. At the same time, you can be balancing out the biome in there. A lot of people have conditions where they have this really nasty imbalance in their biome. And I think the ozone feeds the balancing factors that want to come back and create a healthy, viable lake and get rid of that stagnant swamp, you know?
Yeah. And then the steam version, I think, is pretty nice, too, when you get the heat.
Steam version is great, yeah. I've been getting great results with that for years because when you look at the white blood cell system, when you get heat, you get a fever. Well, you get your temperature up above 98, and the population of the white blood cells doubles. If you get your temperature above 103, the population of those white blood cells rises by a factor of 10 and activates them to where all your white blood cells start moving around like Rambo, ready to save the Republic, you know what I mean?
Right. So also there are advantages not directing it to your body, but ozonating water and olive oil as well.
I've got a beautiful daughter. She's 26 now. When she was about 4, I made her a glass of this water. I call it Oh My God water because of her. If you take MSM, which is sulfur, I'll take a gallon. I'll just yak out the formula. If you take a gallon of ozonated water that's been sufficiently charged for, say, 10 minutes, and then you put sulfur, MSM is sulfur. If you put sulfur in there, and shake it up. My God, the sulfur apparently, I was told by a chemical engineer that a sulfur atom will glob onto 4 atoms of oxygen and make SO4 that they say is a metal sulfide. And it's a sulfide that's the most adept molecule at delivering oxygen to the red blood cells. Mm. So I put a little bit of monk fruit sweetener in there and I put a little salt. And I shook it up and I made a glass for my daughter, Maddie. And she drinks it down. And about 2 minutes, she looks up at me and goes, "Oh my God, Papa, I can't stop smiling and my body's having a party." So I call it Oh My God water.
Yes. Sounds
and I drink good. 3 quarts every day. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people, I do dark field microscopy. It's a fancy name for taking a drop of blood out and throwing it on a monitor. It looks like you're looking through the Hubble into deep space and you're looking through a scope into a micro universe, which is you. And a couple times a week, I have people come over and we look at blood. It's kind of fun. But 90% of the people, they're dehydrated.
Right.
They've allowed their creeks to dry up. And there was this one guy, he was on blood thinners. And I had his blood up on the screen. And I said, "Ken, man, how much water did you drink yesterday?" "Well, I drank about 4 cups." I says, "Look, you're severely dehydrated, my friend. You've allowed your creeks to dry up. Look at this sludge. Drink 3 quarts of Oh My God water for the next 2 weeks." And he did. He paid attention, and it worked that way. Why would people that are intelligent neglect drinking enough water? Blows my mind, Robin.
Boy, the message about dehydration has been hitting us all pretty strongly for the last little while, certainly. And Dr. Batman Jolie wrote a whole book about dehydration and his experiences.
I remember.
And so the more we all can share that with each other is the best thing we can do. And now, for contradictions to using ozone, what are you aware of about that?
I will never do an IV on someone unless they stay hydrated for a week and start doing some coffee enemas. Because if I'm going to send Mr. Clean into their house to shake out the rugs, you want to make sure that house is ready to have the rug shaken out. Otherwise, they're going to maybe even succumb. Now, getting back to coffee enemas, I remember reading about some of the clinics in Mexico. They were waking people up at 3 a.m.
Right.
Apparently, 2 or 3 a.m. is liver time.
Right,
the liver
yes.
starts to need to
Chinese
get active.
Chinese medicine.
And people were getting so much toxic release from imploding tumors that they were dying of organ failure, Robin. So they started waking people up at 3 a.m. and doing a coffee enema, and they lived through the night. So, my God, some of these clinics are doing coffee enemas in an inordinate amount of times a day. Some people say every 2 hours.
Wow.
If you're going to be doing that much colon therapy, you need to make sure you're replacing the electrolytes that are getting washed
Minerals,
out.
Minerals, yes, absolutely. So another big question would be, considering people are using ozone in their own homes and doing it on their own, what is key to know about ozone equipment?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things, other than looking at people's blood and having powwows and talking like this, spreading info, is, my God, we got a living room, a laundry room, a den, a kitchen, a garage. Some of my clients have screening rooms and recording studios. Take a small room, outfit it into a healing ashram. You can treat yourselves, your friends, your family, your dog for the rest of your life. It's going to be cheaper than half a day in the hospital. And if you pay attention, it doesn't cost anything to pay attention. You might just add years to your life.
So there are a lot of choices out there now. Certainly when you started making equipment, you could go to Germany, perhaps, and find a good ozone machine. But there's a lot out there that, a lot of machines that are not made well.
Yeah, that's true across the board for everything. Quality and top-shelf material is paramount in my world. At the same time, I wouldn't want to negate somebody's experience. Let's say they could only get a cheap machine off of eBay. Maybe the placebo effect is having a machine and using it, maybe the benefit of the ozone and the belief that it's going to help would outweigh any of the substandard materials used in the production of the machine. Ozone is very reactive, so you need to get materials that are not reactive. And a lot of the machines I've taken apart, if you said substandard materials, plastics, and it would degrade and in my opinion, you don't want any metal in the gas field, even stainless steel and titanium, especially aluminum. So it behooves us to use our due diligence and seek out top-shelf quality material. And by that, I mean Teflon, dual-glass reaction chambers, Kynar connectors. Then you see where it leads. I recommend people get started and listening to their body's feedback. If you start discharging too many toxins, then you need to back off the ozone by 50%. But you keep going with the hydration and the coffee enemas. And then I think it's best if people take off some time and do everything every day. And when they get the balance point, they can pull back and just maintain that balance. I'm out here in L.A. and I've got a lot of entertainment types, music and movie people. And years ago, Flea, the bass player, he came out and got a machine. And he set a nurse out, Satari, to get trained, and I showed her how to do direct gas and everything. And my God, they took off flying around the world and stopped all the drugs. They're just doing IVs of ozone.
Yeah, there is an article with a picture in Rolling Stone.
Yeah, he's getting an IV. That's far. I never bought a Rolling Stone, but hey, I bought that one because she's using my machine to give Anthony a shot of ozone, and he wrote a song about ozone.
Well, Norman, do you have any final words about recognizing our overall health is not just about an organ or an exercise or even an ozone session? It's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
stop worrying about it. Look at your body as a balancing factor. Bring your body, mind, spirit in alignment. And whatever issue you have, chances are, will fade away like an arrow you don't need anymore because you're not going to be shooting any arrows. All disease is just an arrow pointing to the fact that you're out of balance. You bring your body, mind, and spirit back into balance. And the teacher leaves because you did the balancing. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a brilliant doctor, the Stars, friend of mine. He's been coming around for years. And when he was out about 3 months ago with his wife, I gave him one of my new designs, the Implantorama. And he looked at it and said, Norman, that's great. I said, yeah, okay, good results with the coffee, but the coffee and the ozone, it's like a 1-2 punch. And he looked at me and he said this, I'll tell you exactly why people don't come out of the system very well, meaning the hospitals. And I said, well, let me guess, the environment sucks and the food's horrible. He says, yeah. He says, I was the head of ER at Cedars, ran the emergency room for years and practically lived there, and I've seen it all. Now, people come in, and the cancer tumors, they implode. The chemo, the radiation, the drugs, they do cause the cancers to implode, but there's so much toxic effluent coming out that they die of organ failure.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But the main thing he said was this, and I'll never forget it, and I don't think you will either. He said, Norman, people are taught to pay attention to what they do not want. People are taught to pay attention to what they do not want. Robin, who puts what they don't want on their vision boards? Who prays for what they don't want? The fear kicks in. All the relatives come around, and everybody's paying attention to what you don't want. I think we need to pull back from that and realize, hey, whatever I water in my garden is going to grow. What I look at is going to show. What I see is what I get. So, yeah, show me the issue, but don't get me all fear-based about the therapy. Do the diagnostics. If you really need the surgery, wonderful. If you need to get put back together after your mountain bike accident, wonderful. But for long-term degeneration and care, start thinking about watering what you want to see grow in your garden and then how you can balance yourself out. And, thanks so much. I enjoyed our conversation.
I've heard it said that we shouldn't leave politics or music to the professionals. And I'm going to add the medical community in there, because there's a lot we can learn in ways to help ourselves. Many thanks to Diane and Norman Cowell. Anything related to this program can be found at tributariesradio.wordpress.com, and our podcasts are where you hope to find them. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.